What you got?
Well, I just saw the top NBA 75. I like how they're slowly releasing.
Who's left off?
Yeah. Dwight Howard is left off. T-Mac, Penny, all three Magic legends are left off.
How can you leave off Dwight Howard?
And Vince Carter. And Artis Gilmore was left off. Local Jacksonville legend. Grant Hill. What the? It's clearly they don't like the Magic. That's no one, two, three, like four, Mike, five players that used to play for the Magic.
Mike, we're like the only Magic fans in the world, so.
Dikembe got left off. That's surprising.
I'm going to have to look at this full list.
Yeah, I don't.
Because I saw Shaq was on it, obviously.
Yeah, he
was on
deserves it.
But, I didn't see all of the postings.
They did 25 at a time, so I'm curious.
But to leave Dwight Howard off.
Yeah.
Do we need to go through his stats real quick? Do you want me to pull those up real quick?
I retweeted it yesterday or 2 days ago.
Maybe a diva, but a hell of an NBA player.
I retweeted it the other day. Let me see if I pull it up.
2020 NBA champion. 8-time NBA All-Star. 5-time All-NBA first team. Second team 2014. Third team 2 times as well. 3-time NBA Defensive Player of the Year. 4-time NBA All-Defensive First Team. He was an All-Rookie First Team. He was a 5-time NBA Rebound Leader. 2-time NBA Blocks Leader. He won the Slam Dunk Contest. Whatever. But, this man, he literally was the cornerstone of a franchise for almost 10 years.
Yeah, Dwight Howard should make this All-75 team. 8-time All-Star, 8-time All-NBA. What all the stats you just said. And they said he might have had 2 rings if... And a finals MVP if he didn't run into Kobe in 09.
Fucking Courtney Lee makes a layup. Yes, he would have.
Yeah.
I'm not guaranteeing that we would have won the championship, but it certainly would have helped our case.
Yeah, but that was the... We weren't even touch on this, but it just came across my phone.
Hey, I'm glad you did, because now I'm kind of mad. T-Mac and Penny and Artis. Artis,
T-Mac,
actually, that
Penny.
One kind of makes me the most mad.
Artis, yeah, Artis, Penny, Dwight, Bernard King missed the list, T-Mac. These are just snubs according to Chuck, Shaq, Kenny, and D-Wade.
And I agree with him. Everyone on that list looks very deserving. Again, we'll have to look at the list later on
and
give proper props to each person that's in there. But anyway, hey, we got an episode.
Yep.
Dimes on Duval back at you. Mike Yashi alongside Keith Manzi here. Skyler is off for the night. We've got a good show.
I was going to say, you good there?
I didn't know what to say. I really didn't. I'm going to probably edit the time in between it took me to say that so people won't actually know how long that pause was. But
it's just the bye week blues.
Man, I was really excited. I was like, you came in for obviously you guys, we were off camera. So Mike comes in and I'm like, hey, man. What are we going to talk about? And we start, going back and forth with some ideas. And I was like, oh, well, we won the game. Well, we can talk about next week. He's like, next week's a bye week. And I'm like, oh, jeez. I forget. I hate bye weeks.
I don't. It kind of gives me a break from the stress.
I mean, yeah.
Because the Jags will send me to an early grave. I guarantee you. The amount of stress that team put me through on Sunday was absurd.
Hey, but guess what?
We got the dub.
Got the dub. The Jacksonville Jaguars win their first game since last year, the first game of the year. Golly, what a great feeling. And
since week one of 2020 season.
Just brutally bad. And it was not a great win, honestly. I mean, we've had time to reflect. Obviously, we're hype in the moment. I was at the Market for Makers event at the Glass Factory, right up the road from here.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you've been to Riverside Arts Market, it's like that on steroids. It's really cool. But anyway, I'm watching on YouTube TV on my phone, just walking around looking at all these vendors. And I see he makes the kick, and I'm just jumping up and down. No one else cared, man. I was
really?
Pretty pissed. There's even people there in Jaguars gear. And I was like, wow, all right, some fans you are. I'm hyped. We just won the game.
I mean, I don't know if it's because they just weren't really interested because we are 0-5. It wasn't a home game. It's in London. It's also 9 o'clock. It'll be around by the time we made the kick. It was probably around 12:45. They're not in the NFL spirits yet. I don't know. Then again, they're also out right before a normal kickoff would have been. So maybe they didn't care about the NFL.
Well, they're losers, so I don't care about them. I'm just happy we got the win, but once like the celebration died down, it really wasn't that great of a game for the Jags. They just kind of lucked into some, I wouldn't say lucked into, but
no, we kind of got
they
lucky.
Had a few things fall their way.
We kind of got lucky.
I just hope that they can build off of this.
I mean, we do have a matchup with the Seattle Seahawks in
Geno
2 weeks.
Geno Smith in the Seattle Seahawks,
yes.
Right?
Geno Smith is expected to be the starting quarterback, barring a miraculous recovery by Russell Wilson. So we'll see.
Hope he doesn't.
At least for 1 week.
Yeah, just for this week. And come back next the next week, Russ. Trevor Lawrence did throw an interception, but it was overall another really good game by him. The video I saw going around all over Twitter was the one where he fakes the handoff left, rolls right, and sees the pressure coming right at him, turns around and checks it right back to, I think it was James Robinson out of the backfield.
I believe it was James, yeah.
Beautiful awareness. That is the number one overall pick move right there. Like, that was awesome.
Someone might want to tell Keyshawn Johnson that.
Oh, God. do we already want to jump into Mike's Mad Minute?
We can go ahead and start that.
So, Keyshawn, first off, is a loser for those comments. Like,
if you haven't seen the comments, just go search Keyshawn Johnson, Trevor Lawrence, or even look at Dan Orlovsky's face. Or just look up Dan Orlovsky, and you'll see the exact quote that Keyshawn Johnson said.
But basically, winning does not equal being a good quarterback. And he is a improving, and I'd say he's a good quarterback right now. He's come into his own, and I'm happy with his progression. But again, we're focused more on Jason Kelce.
Yeah, Jason Kelce is a piece of shit.
Wait, do I start the timer?
No, you don't have to start a timer. It probably won't be quick. It'll probably be quick, but I'm going to go ahead and pull up the quote that Jason Kelce said. Let's see exactly. I'm going to try to see if I can find the exact quote. But he said that Philly, talking about Philadelphia in reference to Ben Simmons, saying that Philadelphia is not a tough place to play. He thinks it's tougher to play in Jacksonville where, quote, nobody cares, end quote. And that caused a stir, and the quote is from Mike Kay, former First Coast News reporter here in Jacksonville. So he now works in Philadelphia for the beat writer for the New Jersey Advanced Media for NewJersey.com. So I thought it was hilarious that Jason Kelce's tweeting that, or said this about Jacksonville, even though he has never played a game in Jacksonville. He's played against the Jaguars when we played them in London, and we played them on the road in Philly, but he's never played the Jaguars in Jacksonville. So for him to say that Jacksonville is a tough place to play because no one cares, it is a load of crap because the fans, I mean, we may be biased because we are from here. But
sure.
Jaguar fans have been put through hell and back the last 2 decades. Mainly the last decade, really. Only one playoff appearance in the last 12 seasons. Kind of gets frustrating. So the Jags fans have every right to be upset and criticize all these players that come through Jacksonville, play for 1, 2, as many years, 10 years, 12 years, whatever. Jags fans have every right to be pissed off. They are spending their hard-earned money to go watch a dumpster fire in TIAA Bank Field, Everbank Field, Jacksonville Municipal Stadium, whatever the hell the name of the stadium has been called the last decade, because we can't lock a sponsorship up to save our lives. So it's also, Jags fans have just been jolted by former players, and it's just kind of getting absurd and ridiculous at this point. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the local media. I'm sorry, not the local media. National media crapping on the city of Jacksonville, crapping on the fans of Jacksonville for not showing up. I mean, why would you show if your team's won one game in the last 20 matchups until this past Sunday?
Well, that was actually going to be my point. I was going to say, you know how we make this all go away?
Win fucking games.
You know, nobody talks about the Browns being, you know, in the toilet and all those other terrible jokes. But I mean, like, you know, it's not the same. They're not 0-16 or one-win teams anymore. They're winning ball games, and the Jaguars have failed to do that. So until we get out of that slump, whatever you want to call it, we're going to be the butt of everybody's jokes. And it sucks. I agree. I'm right there with you. I hate it. But thanks for Clay Harbor, former Jaguar, having our back, quote tweeting Mike K and actually saying like how it was a great place to play. So shout out to you, Clay Harbor.
And I think he played for the Eagles as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think he did, actually. He has it in his bio that he plays for the Bears, Eagles, and Jaguars. Yeah,
so he knows about
The Bachelor.
Yeah, and he knows about playing in Philly and in Jacksonville, and he thinks Jacksonville was a great place to play. So, Jason Kelce, here's to you, fucker.
We're experimenting with recording. Not recording this way, recording with film. I'm have my phone propped up on a stand and we are recording, and Mike just, you know, gave us a great bird.
We'll see if that makes Twitter.
We'll see if any of this makes Twitter. Anyway, since it's the bye week, I feel like it would be appropriate if we kind of give a sort of a progress report for the Jaguars so far.
Okay.
We came up with this before the show. We went six categories. For the offensive side, we have the offensive line, skill positions, and the quarterback. And then the defense/special teams is secondary, front seven, and special teams. Those are one category. So should we start? Let's just start on the offensive side of the ball with the offensive line. We're going to do a traditional A through F grade scale. We're not doing, you know, bullshit. 96%, 47%. It's an A or an
F. I got you.
Yeah. So, offensive line, what do you give them?
I give it a B. I think the offensive line's done pretty good. Trevor Lawrence has only been sacked 8 or 9 times through these 6 games. Some of them are the offensive line's fault. Some of them have been Trevor Lawrence's fault. Some of them, actually majority of them, have probably been the receiver's fault for not getting open to help Trevor out. So, I think Cam Robinson's played really well this year in a contract year. Granted, as a franchise tag this year.
Too many penalties, though.
Penalties. We've always
specifically
been
on him, though.
Yeah, like, no, I'll give you that. But we do get penalized a lot.
For sure.
Andrew Norwell can go fuck himself. Against the Titans a few weeks ago when Linder went down, I saw Norwell sitting on the bench by himself, not even with Linder on the field in pain. I saw Norwell just sitting by himself. I was like, wow, what a great teammate you are, Andrew Norwell.
Could he have been grieving in his own way?
No, he walked off pissed. He might have been pissed because he may have caused an injury. I don't know. But the fact is the whole team, the offensive line, was out on the field, and some of the offensive linemen on the bench were on the sideline near the entry point for the players, like on the white line. While Norwell was sitting on the bench, the far bench too, mind you,
by himself.
So Norwell, I don't give a shit about. Shally has stepped up. He stepped up pretty good in London this past week. Linder is obviously out for a few more games, hopefully. Hopefully it's not a season-ending injury. And Juwan Taylor has not looked good this year. I think he's kind of struggled a little bit this year. But I think overall,
pass blocking and run blocking both, I think, have been improved.
Run blocking, sure. It's definitely improved over the course of the season. So I'd give it a B, B minus, if I had to give a grade to the offensive line.
Yeah, I'd be right there with you because, yeah, they're protecting Trevor a lot better than I thought they would. I thought we'd be in a situation where we'd be like, what's their names that we just, Tennessee, where they're giving up a bunch of sacks.
I mean, we'll
like
see.
That.
We'll see what happens now. The Jags are now on their third right guard with Ben Bartsch after A.J. Cannon went down a few weeks ago, and I'm sorry, Ben Bartsch is now hurt. Will Richardson looks like to be the starting right guard going forward until Ben Bartsch comes back from a concussion. Luckily for Bartsch and the Jaguars, they do have the bye week to help heal all their injuries.
Because he got concussed.
Yeah.
That's never pretty. But moving on to the skill position. So we include wide receivers, tight ends, and tailbacks in this. So that's a tough one because combining all three of them, I'm going to go right off the bat here. So
yeah, you go first while I try to think of something.
If this makes it to Twitter, I should probably move into the camera. The wide receivers get a thumbs down. The tight ends get a middle thumb. And the running back gets a thumb up.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, just James Robinson gets a thumbs up. I think that combining all of those together, I give it a C+. I give it a C plus. James Robinson's really carrying that load. Dan Arnold coming in has really stepped up and started showing me more that the tight end position is actually worth something. But the receivers have not been good, and I've just not been impressed with what they've done. You and Skylar had a very spirited debate about LaVisca Chenault on...
He can't get separation.
He can't catch the ball.
And that's kind of a receiver's job.
I mean, I agree with what Skylar was saying. Obviously, you guys don't see our text conversations, but he did say, like, jet sweeps and stuff like that are more his bag, but that's...
Here's a hint.
He's also a receiver.
Convert him to a running back if that's the case.
Hey, Ty Montgomery, you know, do it all. Do like Green Bay did. Well, they kind of had to because of injuries. But
that yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Jamal Agnew's kind of stepped up a little bit. He's made a couple plays that I was surprised by. But yeah, Chark being hurt, that hurts us, I think. Funny. Tavon Austin, whatever. You know, it's just not been a great group this year.
Okay, so running back, A. If I had to separate him, running back would be an A.
Yeah, but we're not separating.
I know. Hang on. A. Tight end, F minus. I'm still not confident with this tight end. Dan Arnold dropped a few balls. One led to an interception. Or was that? That was against the Titans.
Yeah, that was the high pass that kind of scared it off his fingers. But
either
way,
this whole season tight end has been a disaster. We even knew this going into the season. We should have probably drafted a tight end in the draft. Maybe signed either Hunter Henry or...
We did draft one.
Stop. Luke Farrell, who's actually been okay for us, but he's more of a blocking tight end. But that's besides the point.
Or Shaq Hennessy, man.
He's hurt.
If he wasn't hurt, he'd be fine. I mean, he's not even on the... He's not even listed here.
Yeah, well, there's the reason probably. But we knew going into the season tight end was a huge need. And a rookie quarterback loves to have a tight end they can rely on. We don't have that. Now, Dan Arnold has been okay. It's not been great, but he's been okay.
I mean, hey, he's catching the ball for positive yards. That's about as best as we've had in...
Since Mercedes Lewis.
3-4 years, yeah.
Since Mercedes Lewis. And now Mercedes Lewis is actually doing really good in Green Bay for the Packers offense. And then lastly...
I'm smiling, if you can't tell.
And lastly, I give the receivers a C. I do like what Marvin Jones is doing. He is a true number one for this team. Chenault is
at
best.
I like how you specified for this team.
Yeah, I know. For this team, he is. Chenault is a number three. He's a slot guy. At best, he is nothing more. He can't get separation. He's not fast. He's just a bulky receiver.
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Go ahead.
You're talking about fast. How come Tyron Johnson has not, like, existed?
Urban Meyer. Next.
Okay.
Continue.
All right. Continuing.
No, but I don't know why Tyron Johnson's not being used. Jamal Agnew is fast. I like Jamal Agnew being used. But it looks like per the depth chart on ESPN, ESPN.com, it says Jamal Agnew's our number three receiver. Technically, I think he should be our number two. He should be on the outside opposite Marvin Jones due to the fact of his speed. LaVisca is just a big body guy and he needs to be short passes because he clearly can't catch anything deep. He can't get separation. I'm just not a fan of LaVisca Chenault. He's just a bruising receiver who could possibly, who knows, down the line play tight end. Like our former receivers in the past, Reggie Williams, Ernest Wolford. Who else another receiver?
Ernest Wolford, nice.
Well, those are the two that I can come up with off the top of my head.
Insert Sports Bar Pod's random player of the day.
Yeah, well, those two were receivers. Drafted to be receivers, we converted them to tight ends because they're like, we just know they're not good. At the receiver position.
Well, okay, with that, what grade do you give them?
Overall, I give it a C+.
Okay.
Because the receivers are a question mark, other than Marvin Jones. I think Marvin Jones has been an excellent signing in the free agency period this past offseason. Chenault stinks. Losing Chark really hurt. But now we'll see if the Jaguars try to make a move before the trade deadline to trade for a receiver. Highly doubt it. But I do believe that the receiver is the biggest need on this offense going into next year. Not offensive line, not running back, because we get Travis Etienne back. Thank God we need a speed running back because James is really good. But we saw against the Titans, he had a big run. He just cannot get that final step to the end zone, that breakaway speed, which is exactly what Travis Etienne did in college.
Doesn't make me mad either. I mean, I'm okay with that.
He
does so much for the team that...
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, you're talking about James? James is top five, top 10 running back in the NFL right now. I think he's a really good running back. But it also blows my mind that all 32 teams passed on him in the draft and he came undrafted. That just still blows my mind.
Yeah, it's amazing how we found that diamond in the rough right there.
Thank you, Dave Caldwell, because that's all you were good for. Non-first-round picks and after and undrafted, great job. First-round picks, bust. Other than the easiest pick in history, Jalen Ramsey. So, yeah. But I'd give the skill positions a C plus.
Okay, and I think we can speed through the quarterback position. We're just going to give him an A?
No, not an A.
No, I'm giving him an A minus.
I'm giving him a B. He's still a rookie. He's making mistakes. He's made some rookie mistakes early in the year. He's definitely forced some throws. He's trying to come. Like, we were down against the Texans big and early. I felt like he tried to put the team on his back and try to force us or throw us back into the game, which led to some picks.
Yeah, I give him an A minus because I think every week I've seen improvement. He's been tucking the ball a couple more times instead of throwing it away, which I like to see. Mm-hmm. He's made some high IQ plays that I just haven't seen in Jacksonville, I think, ever. So it's nice to see. I hope that he keeps it up. I really think he will.
Wait, you didn't see high IQ plays from Skylar's GOAT, Blake Bortles?
Not really.
Sorry, Skylar. I just have to keep crapping on your Blake Bortles take every time.
I love the boat, but yeah, it wasn't a lot of plays that made me say wow from Blake.
So. Oh, no, there are plays we said wow, but it was usually the wrong way.
Yeah, throwing off somebody's foot and getting it intercepted. Yep. Yeah, that made me say wow. You're right. Okay, so moving to the defense, starting with the secondary. Go ahead.
D minus.
I was going to give them a D, yeah, but D minus works.
They are really bad in the secondary.
It's really bad when you have to say, like, Andrew Wingard is, like, the best guy back there, and he stinks.
I don't think he's the best guy, but...
Okay, but he's playing...
He was at the beginning, yes, he was really good, but it's bad when you have to trade your first-round pick from a year ago. Granted, I was never a fan of C.J. Henderson. I don't know if you were, but... No. It's bad that we had to trade our first-round pick from a year ago to another team because we're like, this guy stinks. And so far in Carolina, he has not played that well from what we've seen.
I haven't seen anything about him.
I just saw him getting beat once by Amari Cooper for a touchdown, and Amari Cooper said, I don't even know who that was. And he found out he played against him in high school. So, and Shaq Griffin has been okay. He has not played the greatest, especially for what we're paying him.
I was going to say, he hasn't shown us what he's getting paid.
Yeah, he hasn't shown what he's not earning what he's been paid. Rayshon Jenkins, same thing. Andrew Wingard can go kiss my ass. But I want to see the young guys. Oh, I'm sorry. Tyson Campbell is absolute garbage. When we pass on Asante Samuel Jr. for Tyson Campbell, that's going to be a draft day disaster for Urban Meyer and Trent Baalke. If Asante Samuel turns to what I think he will and turns out to what the Chargers believe he will into a top corner in the league, he's really good.
I feel like Cisco's not making any advancements either because he hasn't seen the field. And
I don't know if it's the fact that the coaching staff doesn't trust that he's back from his ACL injury.
Yeah,
from a year ago.
It might be that. I want to see him on the field.
If he's healthy enough, I want to see him play. I don't want to see Andrew Wingard.
Because he's a ball hawk. I want to see him go make a play. Like the two interceptions we have were not like really great. All right, so moving on from the secondary to the front seven. I give them a D.
Probably giving them an F.
Yeah, that bad?
The lack of a pass rush is atrocious. And not even that, like, the linebackers have not played good either. Miles Jack has, granted, he was hurt for the London game, but he has not looked good this year. Shaq Quarterman's gotten beaten. Who's our other linebacker? Damian Wilson's looked okay.
Looked okay.
And then Josh Allen, he's missing. DeJuan Smoot's been really good this year for the team. Devon Hamilton has been good.
Congrats to
DeJuan Smoot. Yeah, that was a hell of a story.
Delivering a baby is a pretty awesome feat. Yeah. Congrats to him for that.
Great story. But no, DeJuan Smoot, Devon Hamilton have been the only bright spots for this defensive line, or front seven, really, because Josh Allen's been nowhere to be found. Kalavon Chaisson's finally looking okay after a year and three games, and still looks looks average at best. Jahad Ward has done nothing.
I honestly forgot he was on the field.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't know what it is with this team, and obviously we got to bring up the legend, Taven Bryan, who somehow gets credit with a sack for really doing nothing.
It's the funniest sack you'll ever see in your life. Golly.
But yeah,
what did we say before the episode? We trade him for a bag of chips.
A bag of chips, and then you said you trade him for the fees to clean his locker. Like it's bad. Like it's really bad. Taven Bryan, I don't know why he's still on the team, but
There was talks about someone being moved soon, so hey, maybe it's him.
We'll see. Adam Gotsis has also looked good coming off in rotation, but there's only been three good solid players, but for a front seven that rotates a lot, it's not good enough. I mean, we're not getting any pass rush. We're not forcing turnovers. We're not stripping the ball from these running backs. We're not causing holding penalties or anything. We're not making any...
The defense is making no real impact on the game. It's really just, can the offense outlast how bad the defense plays? And that's the problem. The defense overall has been about a D for the season, if not an F. And it's really hard to win games for a rookie quarterback when your defense is playing so poorly. And that's why I love to see the offense do well, but if the defense doesn't do anything, we're screwed. I mean, in the league, I think we have one statistical category where we're like decent at, but everything else, if you just look at it on paper, it stinks. But if you watch the games, it stinks even worse. You don't see anybody make a play, and that's the problem. This will be a huge week. Well, not this week. Next week will be a huge week for the Jags to where they can actually make some plays against a backup quarterback. Force a turnover. Do something.
Yeah, I mean, we're 30th in the league in sacks. We have 8 sacks. I'm actually surprised we even have 8 sacks. But
the teams that have less are probably like the Lions because they're the worst in the league and someone else. I mean, it doesn't matter who.
I'm not going to look curious. It up. Yeah. I don't know. But the fact is, like, our leading sack leader, or I'm sorry, our sack leader right now looks like it's Josh Allen at 2.5 sacks. Next highest is Adam Gotsis at 2. It's just, and Chaseon has got 1 sack. Like, these are our pass rushers, and we're not getting any pressure, which is a big concern for the Jags going forward if they want to win some more games.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Lastly, we have special teams. I think we might have contrasting ones on this one.
Mm-hmm. You go first.
I give them a C. I'm actually going to give them a C+. And the reason why is up until last week, the punting has been excellent. The return game has been very good. Jamal Agnew has been fantastic, and I knew that would get you because I knew you didn't think about that. And Matthew Wright, sure, he was a sophomore, whatever the hell he was before, and now he's kicking footballs for us, and he won us a game last week. So is he going to be the next best kicker in the franchise? Absolutely not. I don't believe that at all. The dude barely made 250, 4 and a 53-yarder or something like that. So I'm not super confident that this guy's the answer, quote-unquote, but I think he'll be a serviceable kicker. And I think a C is worthy because his lower grade is balanced out by the punter and the return game.
I honestly was about to give him an F, even with Matthew Wright making 2-3 clutch field goals, but I did actually completely forget about Jamal Agnew in the return game, so I do apologize. But I'm still giving him a D+, because the fact that it took us till week 6 to make our first field goal is bad.
It's the worst, or it's the longest that it's taken since the team since like the 50s, I think they said.
It's bad. Granted, Logan Cook has been good, minus the last game or
Logan
two.
Logan Cook has a really long neck.
And he's also a 7th-round pick, so I guess the steal in the 7th round. I'll take Logan Cook. He's been good. But the kicking has been atrocious. We lost against the Cardinals because of a missed kick. Or not because of a missed kick, but...
I was going to say, well, we lost by more than that.
We lost by more, yes, but we missed some kicks that could have helped us. The Bengals, same thing. We made extra point or two, whatever. Who else did we play in between? I'm trying to remember. Broncos, blew that. The Broncos one is actually rough because Lambeau missed 2 key kicks. I think one right before half and... another one, but...
And I want to take the end to just say thank you, Josh Lambeau, for everything. Yes, it was not the way we wanted you to go out. I would have loved to see you ride off on into the sunset gloriously, but hey, you still will be the most accurate kicker in Jaguars history, and you still have the dog park, basically. You know,
Can we get rid of that now?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to, but it's not a big deal to me, honestly.
It's kind of dumb.
He said he's going to stay in Jacksonville, too, which I think is great. I mean, he's made a home here, so...
I think what will happen with Lambeau is that he will find another job, kick for a few more years, and then retire, just like Scobie did. If he's good, then he'll stay, and he'll keep Jacksonville like a summer home, which who doesn't blame him? Because he already has a house down here. Not exactly. I don't want to say that, but I know which area of town he lives in.
I've been to his house. Driven by it before.
So it sucks that Lambeau had to go, but he had to go. Business decision. He couldn't make kicks. The new kid, Matthew Wright, started making some kicks. So
I still thought they should have kept him on to the end of the year just because of the financial hit that it would take. Why? I mean, now you just got a salary hit.
They probably found a clause.
I doubt it.
Probably not. Who knows?
We would have heard about that if they did. But
yeah, but they had to. They couldn't keep two kickers on the team.
Thank you, Joshua Lambeau. Mike, without Skyler here, I think we can do an NBA episode.
I'm down.
I mean, we've already done a lot of NFL, but
NBA's we can talk. Starting
I shouldn't say without Skyler. I should say more. We could do a Magic focused segment here. A
little segment, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we talked about the top 75 players at the top of the episode.
So if you haven't already, I wrote an article highlighting, well, not highlighting, just more giving a little information on each player on the Magic roster. Because I feel like even you and myself didn't know some of these ding-dongs that are on the roster this year.
I didn't even know about Gary Harris.
Yeah, I
forgot about Gary Harris.
You were questioning Gary Harris earlier, so that raises some eyebrows right there.
But I completely forgot he signed with the team. Or still on the team.
He was traded. Yeah, he was a part of the Aaron Gordon trade.
Yeah, again, my thought him, exactly, him I and, forgot.
Him and R.J. Hampton. Did you forget he was on the
team?
No,
I know R.J. Hampton was.
Well, the Magic fall last night to the San Antonio Spurs. Big surprise. I mean,
shocker.
Yeah, it was not a good game. The third quarter, as always, exposed the Magic. But the biggest thing to start the season off is injuries. Of course, you have the two stars in Jonathan Isaac and Markelle Fultz out with their ACL injuries. You hate to see it. That's two starters right there. Gary Harris, the starting shooting guard, was also ruled out right before the game started due to hamstring maintenance, is what they said.
Over 82 games, it's fine. I'm not worried about hamstring maintenance.
Right, and they're going to be extra careful with these guys. Now, as some of you might not know, but the Magic are very, very private with injury return times. They don't give you specifics. They kind of go into it like,
day to day.
When's Markelle Fultz coming back? We're monitoring that. And
he'll be day to day.
Yeah. And they don't give you like dates. We expect him to be back by October 25th. Nope. It's just, he's suiting up tonight. That's the kind of vibe you get. So with those three out, that stinks. You have also Michael Carter-Williams and Chuma Okeke, two key backups that are out, which I guarantee you half of you don't even know who Chuma Okeke is, as we just see the Browns score a touchdown in the Thursday night game.
D'Ernest Johnson.
Nice. And then newcomer Etuan Moore was also ruled out right before the game due to knee maintenance, I guess.
Knee contusion, probably.
Yeah, probably, but that's a lot of injuries already. I'm scrolling through like the injury lists, and us and like the Lakers have the most injuries. But the Lakers
that's
are old.
That's because the Lakers are.
I mean, the Bucks. I mean, I
well,
mean,
Drew Holiday just got hurt the other day, so he did roll his ankle. I think it was.
Yeah, so they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people out as well. So you know, that's a lot of people out, and I think that's going to affect.
I think the biggest
winning games. I mean, we're not going to win a lot of games anyway. Yes, we're not going to win a lot of games. You heard it here first. Ooh, big surprise. But it's going to be a long year. We're going to see a lot of growing pains, but I want to see a lot of improvement. I think that of the two rookies, Franz Wagner had a great game last night.
Okay.
It doesn't show on the stat sheet, but the dude does all the little things right. He knows how to. He knows when to cut. He knows when to set screens. He knows how to get rebounds. He knows how to be in position to make the offense click. And he showed that last night where he had a couple plays where he drove to the basket and it was like, whoa, who's that guy? Like, that was a nice move. But we're going to see a lot of experimentations with the offense they were doing in preseason. Wendell Carter Jr. I actually learned it's Wendell, not Wendell.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mo and a couple other guys that were doing an interview. And they're like,
was
yeah,
it the one
Wendell.
Where they said, who would you not want to date your sister?
I don't know if it was that, but I know it was. No, I think it was a different one because, oh, no, it was interviewing Mo after the preseason game where he had like 5 blocks and he didn't realize he had that many blocks.
Mo is showing out after Clifford is gone, which makes sense because he was in Big Red Clifford's doghouse.
Which, you know, they're making a movie about Clifford, right?
They're making a movie about every
child. Live action. Like,
I'm good.
Do you think they like gave the dog like chemicals to make him like...
I'm pretty sure it's some like...
It's not. I'm joking. It's a fake dog. It's a CGI dog.
Like, I was going to say, it's going to be like
it's like a real dog that they like expanded or something.
Exactly,
like that,
yeah. It's not going to be real.
I didn't see the other dogs. Oh, man. What T-Bone and... I don't remember the purple dog's name.
I don't know. I just literally made a joke about Clifford being red because he gets angry all the time, and now it turned into...
I'm sorry. You know, this is what we do. Welcome to Dimes on Duval. But the... What was I saying? Where were we at?
About what?
What were you talking about? Oh, Mo Bamba. Yeah, so Bamba, yes, did play well last night. But I really think these rookies, this is going to be their time to shine. With all these injuries, we're going to see a lot of playing time from players that you don't know. So if you haven't, head over to www.dimesonduval.com and select right there on the homepage. You will see the featured article. And that feature article is written by yours truly, and it is titled 2021 to 2022 Orlando Magic. That's literally all it is. It's super easy. You just click on it, and then just it's a 6-minute read. It's easier. I think it's more genuine if you go to my article and learn about the person than go to ESPN. They don't need the clicks. We need the clicks. We're almost at 1,000 views on our page. I want to get to 1,000 views before the end of the year. We're at 926, which... If y'all haven't peeped the new cover photo, it's pretty clean. You like it?
Yeah, I love it. And Keith will put a link to the article in the podcast episode as well.
There you go.
To make it easy access. So you don't have to really go. Well, I mean, I don't know if it'll count as a click, would it?
I think you have to copy and paste it. But yeah, it'll still go. It'll still count. Anyway, of course we can talk Magic for the rest of time. I mean, I can. I can literally talk about everybody on that stupid team because I did way too much research on these guys. But... I think we should just talk generally about the NBA here. So, we have returning champions, Milwaukee Bucks, the Phoenix Suns. This is probably the first year.
The reigning Western Conference champions.
Yeah. The finals teams, that's what I should have said. But this is the first time in a while I've seen so much hype about other teams. Not either of those teams that are being predicted to be in the NBA finals this year. I've seen a lot of people picking... the Lakers or the Warriors out of the West, and then out of the East, I've seen the Heat. I've seen the Hawks. Ugh, which makes me shudder, but it's going to be an interesting year. We actually pulled up the odds, which I pulled them up on my phone, and now we're on here. No, this one was good,
that
too,
was
right?
Last year. That was last year's
this preseason. This was last year's? Oh, wait, no, I changed it. Yeah, we got it. So I've seen a lot of Nets, too. I forgot about that. So
fuck the Nets. Yeah.
Do you think they're still the best team without Kyrie?
No. They're not making the finals with or without Kyrie.
Well, I mean, like, do you think these odds should change, like, if Kyrie's playing or not? They're at plus 205.
I mean, that hasn't been updated since October 3rd. So...
it's like...
I mean, they're still the favorite. But, I mean, after the Lakers blew a lead against the Warriors, I don't think they should be the favorite either. But, I mean, it's because they have the most talent. They both have the most... Well,
On paper,
they have the most talent, so I can see why... Both the Lakers and the Nets are favored to come out of their respective conferences to make the NBA Finals. And Brooklyn, because of the younger talent in KD, James Harden, and potentially Kyrie Irving over the Lakers with an aging LeBron James, still one of the best ever, Anthony Davis, and a bunch of role players who used to be former All-Stars and former superstars for their respective teams.
Right. So with that... Let's go with that first. Let's pick the two finals teams. Who do you have going to the finals this year? You want me to go first? You
go first, yeah.
My two teams? All right, don't hate me for this. I've got the Golden State Warriors out of the West. Yes. And I have... Oh, man. It's so tough to pick the East because it's so bad. Like, it's just so bad. I'll just stick with the Bucks. I think the Bucks can go back. Bucks Warriors.
Okay. I've got a matchup.
You said yes when I said Warriors.
Well, so I said yes because I have a pending bet on the Warriors to win the NBA Finals.
So that'll get me
one step closer to that.
I think with Klay back, I think they're a really competitive team. I think their guards are really good.
Well, Klay,
the front court is young, but I think they're getting better.
Klay should be back hopefully around January.
Well, yeah.
So that,
I mean, he'll be back
soon. I can't wait to see the Warriors back with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. Splash Brothers. With the addition of Jordan Poole, who has looked good in preseason basketball this
year.
And late last year.
And they've got Otto Porter and a couple other guys can shoot the ball pretty well, too. And James Wiseman's playing a lot better than we thought.
And he'll come back soon, too. So
yeah, let me not get stuck on the Warriors.
What are you, a pocket closet Warriors fan?
No, I mean, I did like the Warriors for a while, though, years ago.
I couldn't
stand
them. I don't know why. I just did not like them. But
before Steph?
Before Steph, they were like, real fun to root for.
Oh, man, what's his name?
Jay Rich?
Well, yeah, with Jay Rich, Michael Petras, Andres Petrins. The point guard, not Al Harrington. He did the famous, he made the
Jay
shot, he
Will?
Pulled up his shirt. No, he pulled up his shirt. Boris, no, not Boris Diaw, no. What's his name?
While you figure that out, my two teams that I'm picking to go to the NBA Finals are the Utah Jazz. And the Philadelphia 76ers. I do believe in Donovan Mitchell.
Baron Davis, that's his name.
Oh, God, Baron. How do you not remember Baron Davis?
Said Boris. I knew it was something with a B. I feel like an idiot for that.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's rough.
I'm sorry. Everyone.
Sorry, Baron Davis. But I believe in Donovan Mitchell. I do believe in. I mean, nope.
I don't believe it. Can we continue? Keep going.
Anyways,
keep going. I'm just going to keep saying no because, no, frick them. Keep going.
Who's the...
Do you believe in Spida? Do you believe in Mike Conley?
Who's the power forward?
Your mom.
No, who's the power forward or center? What's his name? Who's the one who started COVID? Or in the NBA, who got the issue?
Oh, you're talking about...
Not started COVID, I'm sorry, but got the first COVID test in the NBA. Who's the one who got the first positive test? Gobert. That's who it was. Gobert. While Keith's having a heart attack over here.
I'm so sorry.
Gobert.
Rudy Gobert.
I do like that team. Now... In the East side, because the East is complete garbage, I still do believe in Joel Embiid. I don't know about Ben Simmons, but I do think Joel Embiid, he would have won MVP last year if it wasn't for his injuries. And if he was 100% healthy, winning MVP.
So are you picking the 76ers on the fact that you think Ben Simmons is still going to play for him? Or do you think...
No, I don't care if he plays for them or not. I think the Sixers are still going to go to the NBA Finals.
Who's their backup point guard?
Who cares? They'll trade for one. They'll get one. They'll get a point guard in return, a better one, too. One that can actually shoot.
Do you see the rumors about the Magic?
Oh God, I hope not. I hope the Magic don't.
But think about this. You can't send Markelle Fultz back to
Philadelphia. No, there's no chance.
There's no way.
They'd have to send Cole Anthony if they're going to do it. If they were going to do it.
But Cole Anthony's still not even established enough to be like...
I know. That's the thing. I don't see them...
I don't see Philadelphia making it.
No. I think Philadelphia will make a Ben Simmons trade because this is getting real juicy, by the way. I'm loving it from the outside point of view, but...
I think out of the West going back to the Jazz, I think Denver has a better chance.
I'm tormenting Denver and Utah. I really am.
If they can stay healthy, I think Denver is a better team.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean...
The only thing I like about the Jazz, Trent Forrest.
FSU.
Go Noles.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, that was good. That was like, all right.
I like Utah, picks. And I do like Philly. Philly, if Joel Embiid is 100% healthy, maybe misses a few games here and there, I do believe they are the best team in the East. Bucks will have a hangover. They'll make the playoffs, but they'll get eliminated early on. So I like
them?
The Sixers. I like the Sixers a lot.
I'm just
they
like,
were
are,
first
the Sixers,
last year.
All right, I pulled it up, by the way, because I had to look.
I like Tyrese Maxey. I like Tobias Harris.
So you got Ben Simmons. You've Grant. I don't even know who that is.
I like Shake Milton.
I don't see another point guard on the team.
No, Shake Milton can play point. So can Tyrese Maxey if needed. 6'2", both 6'2 and 6'5". Well, Shake Milton's a little taller, 6'5". But Ben Simmons isn't even really a point guard.
They got Seth Curry.
Yeah, Seth is okay. He's good. But I do. I personally like the Sixers. I actually wanted them to win the West East last year. But then... Milwaukee came up, and we know what happened. They took it all themselves.
Hey, Bobby Portis, man, scary eyes.
Chris Middleton was the most important player on that team.
Did you mention Tobias Harris?
Tobias Harris, yeah.
He's in my article. I wrote about a bunch of random Magic players that are no longer on the team that a lot of people never knew played for the Magic. We could go on about that for days, too. Let's, though, before we do that, go into MVP. Does your MVP correlate with your finals picks?
No.
Who's your MVP?
You go first, because I'm torn between two players.
Right. Steph Curry's my MVP. He comes back from injury.
I need to stop giving you the option to go first, because
you're the bitch that lets me, man. Like, if you didn't, you could go first anytime. I literally always offer you the first pick, and you didn't take it. So, yeah, Steph Curry, he's going to come off an injury. He's going to play extremely well. He's going to shoot lights out. Klay Thompson, when he returns, will just help improve those assist totals, and he's going to run away.
I think MVP is going to go to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the best basketball player in the world, maybe second best player behind Giannis Antetokounmpo. I take KD.
Good pronunciation. Nice.
Oh, trust me, I know how to pronounce his name now. Other names in the NBA, but I do believe that Kevin Durant is the best player, and the Nets are going to need him night in and night out, if Kyrie Irving does not play for them at all this year. So we'll see. I think Kevin Durant should be the MVP. But don't be surprised if Jason Tatum gets some MVP consideration.
And don't be surprised if Ja Morant gets some attention.
I like that pick.
I think that actually should slide us right into our next category of sleeper teams, since I kind of already gave mine away. The Memphis Grizzlies. This isn't a sleeper team to make it to the championship. This is kind of a team to make a run in the playoffs that we think.
Kind of like the Hawks last year.
Kind of like the Hawks. No one really picked the Hawks to do what they did last year. Unless, you know, you're a crazy Hawks fan. Fucking bitches. Yeah. Those respectable fans. But yeah, no, I've got the Grizzlies because I think they've got a good team. I think Ja Morant is incredible. I can't wait to see what he does this year. And we're going off the DraftKings off their, what do you call this?
We're going off the futures betting odds for NBA finals because we're trying to compare. Yeah, I'm the degenerate here. It's been a rough few weeks. But we're basing it off last year with the Hawks and the,
It was the Suns plus 4,000.
It was the Suns and the Bucks. Last year, they made the finals, and we based on their odds last year. So last year, the Suns were
plus 4,000.
The Suns were plus 4,000, and the Bucks were...
I lost it. I don't have it anymore. There. Oh, here it is.
The Bucks were...
plus 550.
No, that's not them. Really?
2020,
oh, no. We were talking the Hawks. The Hawks and the Suns.
Oh, the Hawks.
The Hawks were plus 10,000.
Yeah, plus 10,000.
Because the Hawks were the deep run for them. No one expected that. No one expected the Suns either to even be up there, because I remember when we were on Sports Bar Pod previewing the NBA season last year, we thought the Suns would be like a middle-of-the-pack Western Conference team, but they turned out to be the number two seed. So, basing off this year's betting odds, we decided to go back to the odds that these DraftKings put, and we decided to set a line at plus 4,000 or greater. Keith went with the Grizzlies at plus 10,000, just like the Hawks were last year.
And your pick is?
My pick is the Boston Celtics. I think they do have the talent to go deep. Now, it is based on if Jaylen Brown can turn into a real legitimate number two option. If he turns into a number two option like he did last night against, who did the Celtics play?
The Knicks.
The Knicks. I should have known that. That went to double overtime. I wasn't really Evan watching Fournier. NBA last. Oh my God, Evan Fournier. Anyway.
We hate you.
If Jaylen Brown turns into a real number two option and the rest of the team plays like great role players, then I do believe that they can be make a deep run towards the NBA Finals. So, we'll see.
Oh, this was from last year. I was like looking at the roster. I was like, why is Mo Wagner on the team? Yeah, they've got Al Horford, who needs to stay healthy. They've got Enes Kanter, who can be helpful on the front line. Tatum and Brown, of course. Robert Williams just signed a nice contract. He should be
signed Schroeder
big play.
To the cheapest. Schroeder made it.
Schroeder's. I hate him so much. But yes, he screwed himself.
Yes.
And I'm okay with that because I don't think he's very good.
I think he's a good point guard.
Peyton Pritchard should take a step forward. Romeo Langford also should be continuously improving. I think they've got a good team, so I think it's a good pick.
I think they're a sleeper team. Now, I'm not picking them to go to the finals. I think they are a team to make an Atlanta Hawks type run.
I think yours is more feasible than mine, with just the East being the East and the West being the West.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of high mountains that the Grizzlies would have to climb over.
Yeah, they got to climb over the Jazz, the Warriors, the Lakers, the Nuggets, the
Suns,
the Suns, the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Blazers. That's it.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams. I mean, the only like bad teams are like the Kings and the Spurs.
Kings, Spurs, Pelicans, Thunder, Rockets.
Oh yeah, I forgot about the Thunder. Yeah, they stink.
They're set for the next 20 years.
So do you think, you're right, at the end of the year, will the Magic be in the lottery again?
Yes.
Fair.
We'll win like 25 games.
Please win 25 games.
There'll be 25, 26 games. We'll be in the lottery.
I made my first bet, guys. I made my first bet.
How do you feel about that, by the way?
I feel kind of dirty. I'm not going to lie.
Don't fall into the trap.
I don't think I'm going to do anything else right now, but I placed $40, something like that?
Around $40, yeah.
Roughly $40 on the Magic to win over 22 and a half games?
23 and a half.
23 and a half games. I could be throwing the money away, but it is what it is. I want the Magic to do well, and I believe in them. I believe in my team, man.
Maybe it was 22 and a half. I don't know.
Regardless, it's a long season.
I don't remember.
All of you, let's see, Blazers fans, don't freak out about Damian Lillard going 0 for 9 from 3 last night. All of you Knicks fans.
Davion Mitchell shut him down. Yeah, Davion Mitchell is called off night for a reason. He was on Damian Lillard. So Davion is a really good player. And the Kings are something to watch. If you want a team to watch that's fun, the Kings. They got some guards.
Hey, good luck watching them here in Jacksonville.
It's called YouTube. Highlights. Just watch highlights if
you
need to.
I was like, YouTube? I mean, yeah, I'm not watching.
Or if you have NBA League Pass, go ahead and watch that because they look like a
so close to buying it.
Let me know. I might want to steal your information.
Oh, I was gonna say we can go splitsies, but yeah.
Oh, no, we can split it. We'll see.
We'll see, but
because we can't watch the Magic here, which is stupid.
Yeah. So
TV, get it together.
As we wrap up this episode, the Jaguars are obviously going into a bye week. We will be talking about more Jags next week if we record. I hope we do. We've been very consistent. I'm proud of us.
We probably should record. We'll figure it out.
Coming up very soon, we will have to start talking a little college basketball. JU and UNF are right in the beginning of November. They start their season, so we should at least give them a few nods and talk about them a little bit. We've got a couple of other things that we can, I'm sure, sprinkle in, but I think for this episode, pretty much set.
I'm good.
Good. Well, again, if you don't follow us on social, we are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, of course. We do have a YouTube channel, but you don't really want to go through those archives because they are bad videos. But we are at Dimes on Duval. For Mike Yazji, I'm Keith Manzi. Thank you all for tuning in to another episode, and have a good night.
I love you, Trevor Lawrence, a.k.a. Jackie Moon.
Hang on. Mike. This is the 50th episode of Dimes on Duval.
I still can't believe we've only done it 50 times.
Well, you know, you don't count the YouTube days. So that was some in itself.
YouTube, and also don't count the Manzi's Magic.
Right, yeah, because that's a whole separate entity. But 50 Dimes on Duvals, man. Congratulations.
What a hell of a 5 years.
Yeah.
10 episodes a year, baby.
We are getting a lot better, though.
I hope that's what everyone thinks.
I mean, I think we are. If you think we suck, well, I hope you're not listening because I don't want people that don't like us to not listen. So,
if you think we suck, keep it to yourselves.
Absolutely. So, yeah, congratulations, man. I mean, this goes for all three of us. I wish Skylar was here to celebrate with us, but 50 episodes. Thank you, everyone, for riding along with us. I mean,
from the once every 4 month episode to once every 2 months episode to once every year episode.
I mean, you were just going through some of our old episodes. We had some weird stuff.
Spoopy? I still don't know what spoopy is.
I still don't know what spoopy means. It's spoopy season. But you still don't get it. Okay. No. And there's that. We had a couple debate episodes. Obviously, our most recent one with the boat versus
Garrard.
We've had an episode dedicated to not having you on it because it was about things you didn't care about. What was it? NASCAR?
NASCAR, golf, and baseball.
It still rings true, correct? I knew it. And yeah, we've had a lot of interesting episodes, and we've had a couple guests. Thank you to Coach Rusty for being our very first one. Scott, of course, my brother, the voice of the Dolphins, which we need to have him on again soon for sure. And Nate Monroe being our most recent one. Not most recent one. He's the most recent one that you and I did. But Skylar getting Landon Gentry. So, I mean, we've had a couple interviews. We're obviously going to keep things going, try and get some more people on. We want to talk more about the city as well, because I know some of you have expressed how you enjoy that. But again, 50 episodes. Mike, let's do 50 more.
Let's do 500 more.
We'll see about that. But again, thank you all for tuning in tonight, and have a good one.